Great. Thanks for the introduction. So we're going to be talking about our work today on exploded view diagrams of mathematical surfaces. And to start off, why are we looking at this domain? Well, there are many interesting mathematical surfaces like the ones that you see here that are important topics of study in several branches of mathematics, including most subfields of topology and geometry. Now, most of these surfaces have local geometric features like self-intersections and critical points that are really important for understanding their overall shape and structure. However, many interesting surfaces, including Boyce surface here, tend to twist and turn and kind of fold back on themselves, which produces a lot of self-occlusions, making it difficult to see most of these geometric features. So one simple technique for revealing internal structure is to just render the entire thing in a semi-transparent manner. However, there are some difficulties with these types of visualizations. Mainly, the overlapping semi-transparent regions can be pretty hard to interpret. And in particular, the depth relationships between the layers in these regions can be hard to see. So another common technique for exposing internal structure is to take a cutting plane and then interactively slide it through the surface, as you can see here in this animation. So while this kind of cutting plane does expose internal cross-sections of the surface, a single plane does not really provide a lot of spatial context to help the viewer understand how the cross-sections relate to each other, as well as to the overall surface. A more effective technique for exposing the internal structure of these kinds of surfaces is to create an exploded view diagram. And this is done by partitioning the object into slices that are then separated along a linear explosion axis. So in well-designed illustrations like the ones that you see here, the orientation and the positions of these cutting planes are carefully chosen in order to expose just the right cross-sections that help the viewer understand how the shape of the surface varies along the explosion axis. I'll talk in a few slides about some other nice properties that these illustrations have that help the viewer understand various important characteristics of these surfaces. Now, although these types of illustrations can be really effective, they're also very hard to create. They require a lot of time and expertise on the part of an illustrator. So the goal of our work, what we present, is a system for automatically generating these types of exploded view diagrams of mathematical surfaces. So the input to our system is a geometric model of a surface, as you see here. And then we use geometric analysis to choose an explosion axis, as well as to place the cutting planes in order to partition the object into slices. Finally, we separate these slices and then render them in a pen and ink style to create these kinds of illustrations. Before we dive into the details of how this actually works, let's take a look at some related work. There are three main categories of relevant previous work in this domain. First off, I'll mention that a lot of mathematical software supports a variety of visualization techniques for exposing internal structure, including transparent views, banded views where alternating bands of the surface are removed, and then more general cutaways where certain portions of the surface are removed in order to expose internal features. Now, I've already talked about some of the disadvantages of transparent views. One of the main disadvantages of banded views and cutaways is that they remove portions of the surface, which means that the viewer has to mentally reconstruct this geometry in order to understand the overall shape. Now, this is in contrast to exploded views that don't remove any geometry. Of course, there is a trade-off here. Exploded views distort the spatial relationships between different parts of the surface when the slices are separated, and this is not the case for cutaways. So based on these trade-offs, we believe that exploded views are probably best for conveying the overall shape and structure of a surface, whereas cutaways might be better suited to exposing specific local geometric features. Now, there's been a fairly large body of previous work, including some of our own, on creating exploded views in other domains, including CAD and anatomical visualizations. Some of these techniques propose automatic methods for creating exploded views, but they tend to rely on the object having some kind of part-based structure, which is typically not the case for mathematical surfaces. Finally, some researchers have proposed the use of geometric analysis for partitioning objects into slices. And this is basically the high-level technique the high-level approach that we take. However, unlike these previous methods, we directly analyze the cross-sectional geometry to determine where to place cuts. OK, so to determine how to create really effective exploded views, we looked at a whole bunch of hand-drawn examples, and we identified a few key design rules. Now, there are three main design decisions in creating exploded views. The first is choosing the orientation of the explosion axis. Then we need to place the cutting planes along that axis. And finally, we need to decide how to render those slices to create the final illustration. As for choosing the explosion axis, illustrators typically make use of the object's inherent symmetries when deciding how to orient the axis. So for instance, many interesting mathematical surfaces have rotational symmetry. And in these cases, the explosion axis is typically just chosen as the axis of rotational symmetry. For objects with reflective symmetry, like the one on the right, the explosion axis is typically chosen within the plane of symmetry. And the exact orientation tends to line up with, or often lines up with, the object's direction of longest extent within this plane. Now, one possible rationale for these two conventions is that by choosing the explosion axis in this manner, the resulting slices exhibit the same type of symmetries as the overall object. When placing cutting planes, illustrators typically cut around important geometric changes in the shape of the surface's cross-section. So for example, in this slice over here, the cross-section goes from having a single connected component to having two connected components, as you see here. And then in the subsequent slice, there's one portion of this cross-section that actually collapses and passes through itself, which results in a change in the number of self-intersections. So by placing cutting planes in this manner, in other words, by cutting around important changes rather than right at the important changes, each resulting slice shows exactly one important geometric change. And this simultaneously emphasizes where all the important geometric changes occur in the object. And at the same time, it prevents having too many repetitive or very similar slices or too few hard-to-interpret slices. And furthermore, the resulting exploded view now shows all the cross-sections both before and after each important change, which can help the viewer understand how the shape of the surface evolves across these changes. Finally, illustrators use a couple of conventions for rendering these exploded views. They typically create pen and ink style line drawings, and they often emphasize the cross sections as well as self intersections of the surface. Okay, so these are all the design rules. These are rules for creating effective exploded views. How do we actually make use of these in our automated system? I'm going to turn things over to Olga to explain that part of our approach.
Then we place cutting planes, and finally we render the view. So now I'll talk about them in more detail. So to choose the explosion axis, we first detect rotational and reflective symmetries present in the model. We use Mitra's algorithm presented at SIGGRAPH 2006. On the left side, you see a surface called slipper surface that exhibits a reflective symmetry. And unlike many other surfaces that you see in our talk, this one is named slippers not because, you know, there's a smart guy who created clever parameterization for it, but because it just looks like a pair of slippers. And on the right side, you see the Roman surface that exhibits rotational symmetry. So when rotational symmetry is detected in a model, we just use that rotational axis as explosion axis. For models that have several rotational symmetries, like in this case, this Roman surface has both the threefold axis and the twofold axis, we'll choose the axis of the highest fold symmetry. If reflective symmetry is detected in the model, Mitra's algorithm will give us this symmetry plane. And because we want to emphasize the symmetry in the exploded view, we want to pick an axis that lies in this symmetry plane. To pick a particular axis within that symmetry plane, we first project all mesh vertices on the plane. And then we perform PCA and just use the first principal component as our explosion axis. So if no symmetries are found in the model, then we can just choose the axis of longest extent, or we can let the user specify the axis. The second step is placing cutting planes. So this algorithm is a little bit easier to explain in 2D. So here we have our surface, and the first thing we do is we'll sample explosion axis uniformly and compute cross-sectional curves at each sample location. So the second step is to find important changes. Those are cross sections where the shape of the cross section changes significantly, and we'll talk about it in a second. And finally, once we found those important changes, we want to cut around them. So this red lines you saw here, the position of the cutting planes. Finally, we separate the slices to create an explosion view. So the trickiest step here is computing important changes. So let me discuss that. So after we computed cross-sectional curves at each sample location, we just traverse the surface and we look at different cross-sections. And then to compute important changes, we identify cross-sections where one of the following geometric events occur. We look at the change in the number of the following geometric properties. We look at the number of connected components, and if it changes, that's an important change. So here you see how two blobs merge, so the number of connected components changes from 2 to 1. We look at the number of self-intersections of cross-sectional curves. In this example, you see that as the two circles move apart, the number of self-intersections changes from 2 to 0. And finally, we look at the number of sharp curvature extrema. Here you can see how these four lobes appear on the circle. We believe that all these changes characterize important perceptual changes in the shape of the cross-section. So let's look at the example. So we traversed the surface and we identified the following changes. Here you see that the number of components changes from 0 to 1. Here the number of components changes from 1 to 2 as this blob splits into two circles. Once we reach this point, the number of self-intersections changes from 2 to 0 as the two circles move apart. At this point, these two components merge again, so number of connected contour components changes again. And finally, the number of connected components becomes 0 as we reach our final location. One thing I didn't mention so far is that as we compute those important changes, the following situation can arise. So you see how here when the number of self-intersections changes from 2 to 0, there's this intermediate point where number of self-intersections is 1. Since conceptually it's a single change, we just merge such changes. So here's an example of this. You see right before these two blobs merge, two sharp curvature extrema points appear that are shown here in red. And then immediately after that, blobs merge. Again, conceptually, it's a single change, and that's how we treat it. So we merge those changes. So finally, after we computed where important changes are, we would like to cut around them. So here, these red lines are positions of cutting planes. And Will already said it, but I just wanted to reiterate it. We cut around important changes because, first of all, it lets us isolate these important changes within a single slice. And secondly, we show the cross-section before and after the change occurs, so it kind of helps users see the transition that happens in the surface. So finally, we separate slices along the explosion axis to create the exploded view. So a couple words about rendering. Each slice is rendered in pen and ink style from a user-specified viewpoint. We emphasize cross-sections using alternating colors. We use two colors, red and purple, and we always make sure that two cross-sections that are facing each other are rendered in the same color. Finally, we emphasize self-intersections by drawing them as blue lines. So let's take a closer look at our results. So this surface was obtained from a temporal sequence of a sphere reversion. It has eightfold rotational symmetry, and a couple of interesting things occur here. You can look at the exploded view generated with our system. And let's look at the zoomed in view for a second. So I just wanted to look at more carefully at a couple of slices here. So in this slice, what happens is that the eight pawns that around the perimeter of the cross section change their shape and merge so that the number of connected components changes from 9 to 2. And in the next slice, what happens is that the number of self-intersection changes as the two internal contours, this little circle and the flower-like shape, collapse into each other. So this example, this surface was also generated from a temporal sequence of a sphere reversion. It has lots of self-intersections. And if you look at the exploded view generated with our system, you can see that you can see a lot of those self-intersections in the slices. Again, let's take a closer look at it. you know, also I realized for many of the surfaces, you really have to stare at them for some time to really understand what's going on. So we encourage you to look at the paper and, you know, stare at those surfaces a little bit longer than it's possible in the talk. So let's look at a couple of slices again. Here you see this 8 stamps. And in this slice, the number of self-intersections changes from 0 to 16 as the stamps of this components start intersecting. And in the next slice, the tops intersect as well. So the number of self-intersections changes from 16 to 32. So a couple more results. On the left side, you see a Roman surface, which is a mapping of real projective plane into 3D. So this surface has high degree of symmetry. It actually has tetrahedral symmetry. And in the exploded view that we generated, you can see 3 out of 4 lobes that are in the corner in the corners of the tetrahedron. On the right side, you see the so familiar Bois surface. So it looks kind of quite simple from the outside, but it actually has lots of interesting things that are going on. Let's take a closer look at a couple of slices here. So here you see that the number of self-intersections changes from 0 to 6 as the free arms, you can say, free arms of the cross-section start intersecting each other. And at slice 4, in the bottom slice, something even more interesting occurs. The free arms merge together so that the number of connected components changes from 1 to 3. So we end up with 3 circles, like you see in the next slide. Our approach works well for a number, creates effective visualizations for a number of surfaces, but it has some limitations. First of all, we separate slices along a single linear explosion axis. For some surfaces, say for generalized cylinders, it might make more sense to separate them along a curved axis, because then exploded view will nicely emphasize the overall symmetry of the shape. But given that in this case, the slices will no longer be parallel, it's not clear how to deal with intersections between them. Second limitation is that right now we only look at some types of important changes that occur in the shape of the cross-section. For example, right now we just count the number of certain geometric attributes. You can easily imagine a surface, let's say a twisting surface, where the number of connected components remains the same, but their position within the cross-section changes. We will not be able to detect such changes, although visually they're important. Finally, our sampling approach can miss some events. So to conclude, our main contributions are the following. We presented design rules for generating exploded views of mathematical surfaces, and we also presented a system that performs geometric analysis of the surface and is based on these rules. There are several possible directions for future work. So although our results exhibit many of the nice properties that we've seen in well-designed hand-drawing diagrams, we haven't actually performed a formal evaluation. So ideally, such an evaluation will help us understand how well our illustrations help the user see how the surface changes, whether he can actually see geometric features. And right now, our system was created for generating static views, but it can easily be incorporated into an interactive visualization system. You can imagine that we could present the user with an automatically generated exploded view, and then we could let him, say, drag a cutting plane within slices or change the placement of cuts. Finally, we would like to incorporate window cuts into our system. We saw a lot of those in some of the hand-drawn examples we saw. Nice thing about window cuts is that they help expose the occluded regions and features of interest within the single slice. So we could easily add them to our approach. They're not something that has to be done separately. We can combine both. Finally, I would like to thank all these people and organizations. And thank you for attending the talk. We'll be happy to answer any questions.
I would like to invite you to come and ask questions and state your name and affiliation, please.
Thanks for a nice talk and for a nice work. I have one just addition. You mentioned this curved axis, which is a very good idea, in my opinion. But you can also have non-orthogonal cuts. That could be also an addition which you can have a look at. I don't know if this will become a little bit confusing for the viewers if the cuts will not be parallel to each other. but it's worth direction to investigate, I think.
Yeah, it's an interesting extension. I guess we just don't know it will be easier for the user in this case to, you know, mentally reconstruct the shape, because what happens with explored views is you kind of cut it in pieces and you have to mentally collapse them onto each other in some way, right? And when slices are not parallel, that might be harder to do, I think, but we should definitely, you know, think more about this.
Very nice work. I was wondering, in the case of Boyce surface has a triple point, and your slices don't seem to catch that. Can you comment on that?
So you said Boyce surface has
a triple point, a self-intersection curve.
Triple point.
Oh, a triple point, right. Right. So I think if we added window cuts, I think that would help expose this particular feature. That would be useful.
Window
right.
cuts.
Something more to add?
Yeah, just to clarify that, that triple point is one of the important changes that we identify. It's just that, you know, so I think in slice 5 actually is where it occurs, but because of the viewpoint, the fact that there are some inclusions there, you can't actually, it's a little bit hard to see perhaps where exactly that triple point is. So as Olga was saying, one possible extension that we've talked about is including window cuts within a slice to expose those kinds of geometric features when they're occluded.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for this talk. I enjoyed it very much. I think this is really a good contribution to give access to these complex surfaces. Maybe you also could consider to not completely cut away the rest of the surface when you show a slab, so to say, but you give some very limited cues on how these shapes possibly extend across the cutaway section. I had the impression when looking on your slices, even very slight cues that would tell me that maybe in the next section two curves connect would be very helpful to understand what's going on.
Yeah, that's a really nice suggestion. I think certainly, you know, our design rules were we were hoping that our design rules would result in exploded views where within each of these slices, you could kind of tell the correspondence between adjacent cross sections, which would help the viewer understand. But it certainly could be the case that adding some additional visual cues might help the viewer establish those correspondences in particularly challenging, you know, slices or where the curves are particularly complicated.
Hi, nice work. My name is Hans Hagen, and I'm interested in these surfaces. They have an interesting topology, but they have an interesting curvature distribution too. So did you think, or is there a reason not to do it? You take a plane by the normal vector and the mean and one of the principal curvature directions, and then you intersect the surface, what people normally do since 150, 200 years. You didn't do that. What's the reason for it?
So I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch the technique. I think you were saying that there's another kind of standard technique, or another technique for creating cuts, or for...
Yeah, you take a plane from the normal vector, spanned by the normal vector, and one of the principal directions, so a minimal or a maximum normal section curvature. You get a plane, you intersect your surface, and that tells you a lot about the curvature distribution, certainly not about the topology.
Yeah.
But what's the reason why you don't do it? Maybe it wasn't work or not. It's not appropriate for your situation.
Well, I mean, I guess I would say that I'm actually not that familiar with that specific technique. However, the motivation for the particular rules, you know, that we included in the system, were taken from the set of illustrations that we analyzed. And it looked, you know, from the illustrations that we looked at, it seemed like considering these symmetry properties as the main kind of deciding factor for how to orient the planes was what they were doing. And since, you know, there did seem to be some benefits in doing that, you know, kind of maintains or emphasizes some of that overall symmetry, we decided to go with those design rules. But, I mean, that's actually an interesting thing to think about. Thank you.
Let's thank our speaker again.